The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library. We'll discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 7. And I'm Chris Lorenz. Sitting to my right is...
Mr. Houston.
Welcome back. Sitting to my left...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting to his left...
Robert Kitts.
Sitting across from me...
Tony L. Maxta, a.k.a. Maxta Miata.
Also, Mr. Houston, you're probably... You're Brian, if we refer to Brian.
Yes, I'm Brian Houston.
Okay. Just so people aren't confused, welcome back to the podcast.
I wanted to feel official because, like, I mean, this is a very spy show, very...
There's no spies in this show.
That's true. Everybody's pretty, like, outgoing and badass.
Brian has way more respect for this podcast and show than we do.
Apparently. This episode wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Stuff happens.
Yeah. Not a lot, but stuff happened.
You know?
This episode was hilarious.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the funniest episodes.
I'm not saying this episode was good, but this episode was entertaining because there were so many ridiculous things that happened and just
so
kept me laughing.
So many ridiculous things.
It's hard for me to remember all the ridiculous things that happened. Oh my God.
So I guess we'll go over what happens at CTU.
Well, do we got to start with the biggest thing that happened?
What is the biggest thing that happened?
What have we been talking about all season?
Yeah, and I didn't know if we wanted to go over that plot line specifically.
That's why I said CTU.
That he's part of the CTU plot line.
All right, go for it.
Okay, I'm terrible at these. I don't know why I keep getting roped into these.
You're the host.
The one thing we've been expecting the most has been the least exciting piece of this.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, it was exciting when it happened, but the plot line's not great.
What actually happened was Tony Almeida finally made his appearance. However, it was in the worst possible way because they barely used him. And they really needed to focus on him in order to make this show somewhat enjoyable.
I mean, next episode, they're definitely going to focus on him.
Yeah, they just kind of had to bring him in. So should we set up kind of how
I'll set it up. So at CTU, Senator's dad, what's his name?
Senator
Papa
Smith.
Organa.
Papa Organa.
A.K.A. House of Cards guy.
A.K.A. Henry Donovan.
As we knew last week, wasn't, you know, cooperating with the interrogation. So Rebecca decides it's time to bring in the big guns, enhance interrogation. So she gets the senator into some stupid debrief and steals Papa Organa. And guess who picks him up? Tony Almeida to do enhanced interrogation.
I would like to announce that I'm currently double fisting a microphone and a whiskey glass, and when I said who was it, I did it into the whiskey glass.
How's that not Jack treating you, Max?
Yeah, our drink of the week, not Jack, pretty good.
Not bad.
I'm not really sure what else happened in this plotline. Nothing. So
something amazing happened.
You kind of glossed over how they got him.
So who, first of all,
I just said he picked
who
him
was
up.
Spoiled that Tony was going to be in this episode?
I was not spoiled.
I was not.
I might have been spoiled.
I was also spoiled.
Nope.
That's rough.
So
was it on the next time or?
So this is the thing. So first of all, I just was on Facebook and I got a promoted ad. Tony's back. This is the week.
Oh my God.
And so as soon as I saw that, I remember our conversation with the next time and I went and watched it. And remember how we watched like 20 seconds of the next time that it cut off?
Yeah.
The last 10 seconds of the next time was Tony's back.
Oh. I can't believe that they wasted that in the next time.
And like, it wasn't even well done in the next time.
Well, it wasn't well done here either,
no.
Let's be honest.
It was done better here than the next time.
I don't think that the writers of 24 Legacy have as much reverence for Tony Almeida as we do.
I don't think they care at all.
No.
They were shafted with like a decision to like, hey, we want to reboot 24. Let's make this like a whole new cast. And then from this, like, we have to bring back like somebody. Like, they could have brought back anybody. They probably could have brought back Jack Bauer for an episode.
The only reason Tony Almeida is in the show is because the executives saw the first couple episodes. They're like, we need somebody from 24.
Right, exactly.
We gotta juice this thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed something. But, and then they brought him back in the worst possible way. Like, so what happened was they decided to do a heist. Like, they released him from CTU. Papa Organa. And then Tony Almeida was like just going to intercept him and then kidnap him. And then from there, they do their enhanced interrogation. However, based on like last season, Tony Almeida could have done this in a very badass way. They could have just been like, hey, like, we know that like CTU's after your ass. We want to make sure that like you're not going to confess. However, they clearly indicated that he's from like CTU. It's very like government backed, and just try to do it. They mentioned enhanced interrogation, and they really shouldn't have. They should have kept it like a criminal thing and not let him in.
It's an interesting theory. I like that idea.
Yeah, for sure.
My biggest gripe with this is the Super Bowl commercial showed Tony Almeida getting out of prison to help, you know, with this terrorist plot line. What the hell? There's none of that.
That's not.
He's just out.
It wasn't obvious that that's what was happening in that short, though, was it?
I thought it was pretty obvious. He was in like
someone broke him out.
No, whatever, he's not talking about. He's not talking about the thing on the DVD.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah,
he's talking about the Super Bowl commercial. When you
Super
saw,
Bowl
like,
commercial. Yeah, okay.
You saw 2 seconds of Tony. And the 2 seconds of Tony were probably from the Blu-ray special feature where they broke Tony out of prison.
Yeah, probably.
So now there's a lot of questions, like, because they reveal that Tony and Rebecca have a history. So did Rebecca help break him out of prison?
Oh, I like maybe. That.
Seems likely.
Some sort of.
I feel like we should go back and watch back? That. I feel like we should go back and watch that little Blu-ray short again.
We probably should have done that before Tony came back, to be honest.
You know.
I mean, we saw it. We should go back and listen to our podcast.
We only bring you the most informed and high quality 24 commentary.
Should we have a 24 podcast?
Those guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Don't get meta.
Well, the 24 historian should be able to tell us.
That's really Brian's. Brian should have, instead of jumping on our podcast, he should have made a better podcast about our podcast. That was his true calling.
So here's the thing. I could never make a better podcast than this one.
Oh man.
That's not true, but very nice.
That's really not true.
So... One 24 historian thing on Tony saying he was with Rebecca after his wife died. Pretty sure that's impossible because he was presumed dead and then a criminal and then in jail. And I don't think Rebecca's getting with that at any point in there.
I mean, he's out of jail now, so.
But she's clearly been with Senator Donovan, a.k.a. Jimmy Smits, for quite some time.
Here's the thing, though.
Could be a side piece.
All right.
I guess.
So I'm gonna go a little bit out on a limb with this one, but I think that's probably what would have actually happened if this is true. So like,
what if CTU was a real functioning piece of the government?
If Rebecca was so at this point she's the former director of CTU. You don't get to be director of CTU without being in the intelligence community in this like situation. Like for a long time.
Sure.
So I bet that she was operational and working on, like on the same kind of stuff at the same time that Tony was. So it's totally reasonable if they could have had some kind of fling or something. Like
she was undercover?
No, she was just working for like, you know, either the FBI or CTU or CIA or something, right?
What was he working for?
I have no idea.
She could have worked under Tony.
Yeah, CTU, right?
No. Because he said it's after his wife died.
Did he immediately go to jail after his wife died?
Right, but they could have met when he was working at CTU still.
12-ish hours after his wife died, the show told us he died.
That's a lot of time.
Well, so, what if it was his first wife, and then the second wife is the one you see on 24?
Oh, that's a real deep cut. Okay, we'll go with that.
And then this is in between first wife and second wife.
All right,
so
let's go with it.
Maybe they knew each other before he quote-unquote died, and then like she's the one that he reached out to like get set up with some stuff.
But would you really, after what happened in that season of 24, trust this guy at all?
He was in jail at the end of that.
I know. Well, he was he was dead.
Oh, that season. Yeah, he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a mole. Why would you trust him?
I don't know.
Like, this makes no sense in the context.
I don't remember enough about the Toad and Tony Amanda plotline to be talking about this. I don't think.
He just plays by his own rules. It's fine. Like, I mean, I kind of like that character, but at the same time, they're using him like to. It's really tough to determine like what he's going to like do.
Well, no, I think it goes back to
just a wild card.
It goes back to Chris being like, you know, the executives saw the first few episodes and were like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
Because they're like, we got to make this more classic 24. Let's bring in some torture. Can we get some guy to torture things? And that's like where that came from. Like, it wasn't really well thought out of how do we introduce Tony in an interesting way? It's like, oh, we need someone to do some torture. Let's do that.
But why not bring back Jack? Like, just bring him back.
Jack is now President Kirkman.
And he's too expensive.
And a much better show.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like, they definitely cheaped out. But like, they really need to like bring him back to like,
either Tony was available.
Jack Bauer is never coming back to the show.
I
understandably so.
Disagree. I think it might take 10 years.
I just don't think he's going to just do like a guest spot on this other 24 show. It would just be weird.
I would be very surprised if this 24 show made it another season.
Yes.
I agree. I think they might do like a one-off movie 10 years from now. Jack Bauer.
Okay, so...
A two-hour terrorist plot? No.
So...
Yeah, it's going to be called... Two.
The real question is, if this is the only 24 Legacy season, if you could see a spinoff show for any of the characters in the show, who would it be?
Great question.
Insanity High School.
Insanity High School. That's going to be tough to make a spinoff at this point unless it's a prequel.
Definitely a prequel. It would be great because you get to figure out how they became terrorists, how they met the high school boyfriend, met the teacher, and like how they blackmailed him.
It could be interesting.
I feel like it only has like a season in it, but
I actually want to see an Andy Chloe spinoff. Like Chloe can do some shit and then Andy's going to join up and wreck some more havoc.
Yeah, but then you don't have anyone that can go kick some ass. You've got two.
They're both kicking ass. Like they're both rogue and they're just going to like
you think
hack
Andy
the government.
Andy's kicking ass?
Absolutely. He's fucked over like right now cuz
Andy's right now, definitely breaking hearts right now.
Should we talk about the Eric Carter plotline?
Nah. No. So
that's what we're talking about right now, though.
High school.
Yeah.
You know, spinoff. Then from that, you have another spinoff from characters you met in Insanity High School.
But it just keeps going.
Spinoff.
Chris.
But see, here's the thing. Like, to kind of swing back to Andy, he's burned by the government. He's not getting another government job. Like, they just want him out. So like, him and Chloe can actually team up and do some awesome stuff together.
But Chloe isn't in this season. So how is there going to be a spinoff? But,
I mean, they could just bring him back because like she's part of her own like hacker group. He can join that. He's going to kick at butt.
Just
on that.
Based in London.
Yeah, why not?
But how is that all rah rah USA prevent the terrorists?
London is basically USA
because
East.
they filmed London Has Fallen there. Checkmate.
Nice.
All right, we can all agree. The spinoffs of spinoffs idea with Insanity High School is the best.
So many levels.
I think you mean Insanity Middle School. The prequel.
They were only there for 2 years, so I don't think that they were in middle school.
You know, who knows?
They retconned it.
It's true. They pulled a Frasier.
I think that's your pulled go-to for retcon.
Insanity High School, the previous generation.
They retconned his dad. He said his dad was dead, and his dad's not dead.
No, I know.
Okay, it's just like the audience.
Whoa, Frasier spoilers!
Oh man,
Frasier is a dead.
No. So I guess we can talk about.
Do you just want to talk about the craziest parts of that plot line so we can sort of wrap it up?
Yes.
So one, Rebecca says when she's talking to the CTU director about why they should use Tony. She says, he's perfect. He has no connection to CTU, despite the fact he worked for 10 years at CTU or something.
And the fact that Rebecca and soon the senator will be at the CIA black site.
Yeah, so...
And calls made between them, like, if you're like...
Like, they start with, it's important that Tony's not connected to CTU. Then she's calling him from her own cell phone, which we're trying to decide if she had a second cell phone. I don't think she did. Then she's at the black site when they show up.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Senator Organa finds out, she's like, I'll just get CDU to bring you to the black site. Hey, He is running for president, and he's going to a black site?
They're the worst. They're the worst at keeping this secret. They're the worst at keeping this secret.
But they still need to know what's going to go on, because like they're going to be deep in it.
Plausible deniability, Brian. You do not bring the senator slash presidential candidate to the black site.
Let's be honest. Like everybody in... They have to know what's going on.
The current U.S. climate on enhanced interrogation is positive, so I don't really see it as a problem.
Do we think the term black site is racist?
I think it's sexist.
You might be right. Is blackpeoplemeet.com a black site?
I guess.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Chris, we got to move on.
So the next crazy thing about that plot line is the way that they hijack that car by shoving that like harpoon through the roof of the car and immediately filling it with crazy knockout gas.
That is freaking cool.
It was pretty.
That was a great scene.
Okay,
it was a very impressive hijacking.
Based on how quickly he got knocked out, there's no way they don't have brain damage.
They don't care if they have brain damage.
I disagree.
No, you need to have their brains intact so they can
interrogate
them.
Only the one guy.
Yeah, the one guy.
I feel like it wouldn't work that well if they were moving, because they would have just been like, oh, no one's controlling this car anymore.
Yep.
But the other thing is, they could just roll down the windows. It's like, okay, suck it.
Why couldn't they do that at like a stop sign?
I mean, they pulled in front of him and made him stop.
Because they had to do it on that back, random back street that the car decided to drive down.
They had like 4 feet of space so to shoot that scene.
They're lucky that they didn't take Pop Organa down like many major roads, you know, bustling traffic going on. It's like on this random road, it's fine.
I mean, this is DC, so not as bad as LA, but they're getting around real well.
Yeah, how far do you think they could possibly be from CTU? That took them like 5 minutes to like.
This was 6 to 7 p.m.
It's a 6 to 7 p.m.
Oh, like.
At max? Like 50 meters.
Four blocks.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they're. Are they in Northern Virginia or. I don't know. Like 4 blocks. Like nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, CTU is actually a duplex, and just half of it is the black site, and the other half is CTU. Yeah.
Based on how many people actually see working there? Yeah, it is.
I heard someone suggest once the only way Jack Bauer got around LA so well was that CTU was also on wheels.
Could be. Oh, man.
Anything? Do you want to go on to Eric's plot line here?
Yeah. I mean...
Do you want to talk about Tony's
The only thing you got, like, I mean, yeah, we got that. Like, the only other thing is you got Jimmy Smits delivering some great, you know, facial reactions a couple of times in this episode.
Tony had one great facial
Tony
reaction.
Tony also had a great facial reaction when he learned that they had not told the potential future president that they were going to be torturing his father.
Yeah,
he was like, oh, you decided not to tell him? Okay, bold move.
You're paying me. It's fine.
How do we feel like they're repeating the Aisha plot line? Because Tony also has an Aisha.
It's definitely Aisha too. You know, she's jealous of his former side piece, Miranda Otto.
I'm like,
how old is Tony now?
Ageless.
24 historian.
He's looking real old in this.
He's looking weathered for sure.
It's hard to say because I don't know like how many years have passed in 24 time because they've had like 10
24
presidents.
Takes place in real time.
The seasons take place in real time. It's not been 8 days since Jack Bauer's first day in CTU.
Bauer has it.
That would actually be amazing if it was only 8 days because holy hell, those are a hell of a week.
It's a hell rough of a week.
That girl he's dating now seems like she's younger than his wife was at the time before she was dead.
That's how Tony rolls.
Yeah, I guess.
I want to know who's
writing.
Plus,
she likes to torture people.
Right?
I want to know who's writing the show. Like, is it just 24 fanboys, that group of 24 that now work at Fox?
It can't be.
Because that's what it feels like.
Let me see if I can look up like, the name of the people who are credited for writing this episode.
So I actually think that it's kind of the opposite. I think that they hired a bunch of writers who don't really care that much about like the spirit of 24.
So you think that they don't know the spirit, so they're just writing schlock?
Yeah, basically.
I feel like it's just fans of 24 that don't know how to write.
I would definitely Maybe. Bet at least one writer is a holdover from, like, at least season 4.
The bad season?
You know, I'm sure they have an old fogey there.
So I'm with Harrison. I don't think that they're going to actually find somebody that doesn't know how to write FOX. They're just going to find people that like just don't really appreciate 24 and like understand the crowd.
This episode was written by Tony Baskalop.
What else has Tony Baskalop done?
What's her name is Baskalop?
Some episodes of Hotel Babylon, something called Worried About the Boy, and Moonshot.
Okay.
Okay, then.
You know, what kind of name is Chris Lorenz or Brian Houston? Like,
wow.
Whoa. You can't insult the host on the host show.
I can, and
the
I will.
The one and only Chris Lorenz.
Oh, he also wrote one episode of 24 Live Another Day.
Which one?
I don't know if I think that's hard to find out.
Okay.
IMDb doesn't make that easy.
Oh, man.
Aren't you an IMDb
Feature
Pro
request.
User?
Feature request.
I'm not an IMDb Pro user. Got to get on that.
All right.
So let's
switch gears to Eric.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll flash to the terrace. Well, I guess we'll start with Eric here.
And it'll lead into the terrace.
Yeah, we'll lead into the terrace. Eric sets off Andy's car alarm in the basement to get Andy down there. Andy goes down there after professing his love and his faults.
Nope.
That's not true.
That's not what happened.
That's definitely what happened.
No, it's definitely got the not order true.
Different
wrong.
Order, because the reason that he sell that stuff to the dude was because of what Eric talked
about. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Sorry. My
damn
bad.
It, Chris.
God.
My bad. Andy goes down in the garage, and then Eric, you know, tells him that he needs him to go and erase the flash drive on this crazy suicide mission, and Andy says he needs to go get his laptop. Professes undying love for this other guy, and he does, but then the other guy, they go out to the car, and I don't know what the other guy's name is.
Who knows?
The other guy follows them, pulls a gun on them, and then they get into some tiff or whatever. It doesn't really matter. He gets locked up in the garage. Then Andy and Eric go to the terrorists.
Yep.
The terrorists, meanwhile, have Nicole and what's his face?
Isaac.
Oh,
Isaac.
You preempted me on that one.
Nicole and
Thank
Isaac.
You.
Yeah.
Nicole and Isaac put him in a van, and they drive off, and they go meet up with Eric and Andy. Eric and Andy, you know, Eric holds Andy hostage till Nicole.
Fake hostage, but yes.
Nicole and Isaac, you know, get freed and take the car and leave, and then Andy and Eric get taken by the terrorists. And the terrorists say, go get Nicole. And the main terrorist tells the lackeys to go get
Jadala bin Khalid.
That was a speed run of that storyline. Good job.
Well, nothing happened. So, like...
So, yeah,
like...
It took a little while. I even went to the bathroom, like, during the whole lockup of the CTU agent situation.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize... Well... I knew immediately, like, it was just going to be a sentimental thing. It just wasn't going to mean much, but...
No. What's going to happen is that next episode, he's going to get free of that bar.
Oh, no doubt.
And go tell CTU, and then save Andy and Eric.
100%.
Right, but at the same time, that speech wasn't necessary.
Wasn't necessary in Independence Day, but it was worth it.
No. That speech was 100% necessary. That speech defined speeches...
We had to inspire
all these amateur pilots to go and fight these fucking aliens.
You're right. I'm wrong. Let's move on.
Okay. So a couple of details about this Eric Carter storyline. I didn't notice this being set up at any other point in the season, but basically Andy kind of makes this comment to Eric that like, hey, if I was lying to you, you'd know it. Like setting up that he's a bad liar. And then... which immediately pays off about a minute later when he's talking to his former boyfriend who is like all of a sudden super sentimental towards and all this stuff. And then like when he's packing up all of his computers and shit at his desk, he's looking super guilty. And like, he kind of like catches eyes with the other dude. And it's obvious that he's like horrible at this, but like, I feel like that was just like
lying earlier in the season and he wasn't lying badly.
Right. It's just like, they like, had to set up like this situation in some way, and they just kind of like shoehorned it into the end of that Eric conversation.
I feel like he was just acting sketchy anyway. There was no real need to do.
Yeah, it's like, yo, I'm a bad liar. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can read between the lines a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else was interesting in this in this plot line? Not a lot.
I can't believe it took like 40 minutes for them to do this.
They shoehorns like a, "Hey man, I forgive you" with his brother.
Yep. Oh, that was the best.
There was a lot cool there because it made me think, man, what if they just kill off Eric and then Isaac's now the main dude?
That'd be amazing.
Actually what we want. We want Isaac and Tony, the main characters of 24.
We want Isaac and Tony, Jimmy Smith's president. And that's, you're looking good.
Yo, I mean, that's pretty solid.
Smitsy.
I mean, we were talking about the top actors in the show.
We were.
Because, you know, Isaac got some great screen time with Nicole. Nicole, not a good actor. Isaac, great actor.
Isaac's great. Like, yeah.
Trying to, like, pull her up to his level, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
He was also trying with Eric. It wasn't going that great.
I feel like it went better with Eric.
Yeah. That was a reasonable scene when they're, well, yeah. It was a reasonable conversation when they're talking about the car. What was unreasonable was the situation in which they were talking, yeah. Which was an insane standoff with the terrorists.
Just like a minute and a half.
It's like this hostage like trade standoff where they're letting the wife and brother kind of come back to the other side. And they're like, all right, let's go. We got to hack this thing. And meanwhile, they're having this argument about, no, you can't go on this suicide mission. This is a very loud argument, but no, you can't go on this suicide mission. And then a very long, heartfelt speech between the two brothers. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
Definitely
nuts. It goes on for like 5 minutes.
It was so long.
Yeah. There's no way those terrorists aren't just like, you know, going or beating people in the head.
It's like, hey guys, we got a terrorist plot to execute here.
So yeah. So can we name, like,
we're standing in the open.
Do we have five people we think are good actors on this show?
I can name two of them.
All right, what are your two?
You got Senator Organa.
Sure. Jimmy Smits.
And Isaac.
Sure. Yep, those are the clear top two.
Is there anyone else even in contention?
What about Tonathan Almeida?
Tonathan
Almeida. Antonio.
No, not at this point.
Rebecca is not terrible.
Yeah, I think the Rebecca's decent.
Not terrible.
So I haven't watched this season of Homeland, but last season of Homeland, I thought she was pretty good, actually.
Oh, is she in Homeland now? I didn't know that.
I don't know if she's in the current season because I haven't watched any of it, but the previous season she was in it.
Gotcha.
I'm like amazed that her contract for Homeland lets her be in 24.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird.
I feel like, you know, the actors aren't given a lot most of this in this show, so it's like...
You're just saying it's hard to tell because they don't have...
Well, there's a writing
not
very good.
Do we put Mr. Insanity in one of our top five actors?
No.
Absolutely not.
You mean Professor Insanity?
You know what?
Professor Science.
Professor Science?
Jadala's actor, he's okay.
I don't know about that.
He's not given anything to work with. So
he has nothing to work with.
He has never made any kind of facial expression in the entire show.
Right, that requires some serious effort.
He had that water put on his wound.
Rubbing alcohol poured on that.
They showed rubbing alcohol, but it was water.
But in the scene, it's supposed to be.
It also wasn't a real wound.
Yeah.
So were they just trying to show he's so tough he won't react, or is he just not a good enough actor to act like alcohol?
I think option B.
I think it was supposed to be option A, but I think that the reason they wrote it that way is because of option B.
Do you think they filmed, they're like, we're going to film this one a couple ways? And then like they saw the dailies, they're like, oh God, all the ones where he reacts are terrible.
Yeah, he's got to be stone-faced the whole time.
Okay, so let's say the 24 legacy continues for another season. Do you think that Jimmy Smits could be like the next David Palmer?
Sure.
I would love to see Jimmy Smits president.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the few people on the show that really seems like they're giving it their all.
I don't think he could be the next David Palmer because David Palmer
right.
so good.
Right, of course. But, like,
Jimmy Smits, like, people good, just not David Palmer good.
Sure.
He's good, okay. He's good in a very different way.
Yeah.
And sometimes hilarious way.
Well, it goes back to our thing of, like, how did they even convince Jimmy Smits to be on the show in the first place? It's like, can they convince him to come back for season 2?
This is where all the budget went. No other budget for anything else.
I mean, it's like...
give up that Smits money. There's nothing left.
Like, here's the thing. The scenes that he's in, he's putting in, like, a week on this thing. Like, all of his shit, like 90% of his scenes are just, like, in the same room... And like, well,
but
it's just,
so we got to mention the best scene he was in all episode.
The okay, one yeah. where you don't even see his face?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, okay, my personal favorite Jimmy Smith scene was at the very beginning.
Yeah.
You just see the back of him, and he's watching a TV, and he's acting the shit out of the scene.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. That's the scene I'm talking about.
That was definitely my favorite.
The best scene was when he figures out that something's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who's
oh, I forgot about
it. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy who's been... you know, pretending to go over his statement to stall him, gets up in front of the door to block him, and Jimmy Smith says, you know, unless I'm under arrest, you'd better move from that door. The guy doesn't move, so Jimmy Smith just turns around, goes out the other door.
And the guy makes no effort to stop him from leaving.
So good.
So crazy.
I want to know, how did they not all burst out laughing when they wrote that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they did. Who knows?
Like, how many takes did Jimmy Smith take before he did he actually did it with a straight face?
I wonder if that's the way that they wrote that scene, or if Jimmy Smith just improvised that one because he knew that door was behind him, and he's like, I'm just going to get out of this door. It's going to be an amazing scene.
I mean, they got to move the camera. They moved the camera. It wasn't like...
I understand.
The camera was static.
But it's handheld, but it's an on-the-shoulder camera. Like, they could have definitely just gotten that shot. I mean, you keep the camera on Smith's. You don't.
You got that Smith's, you got to use it.
I mean, you paid for him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's definitely the most overpaid. He's definitely the highest paid actor in this show.
I mean, so it's like... he's probably not had that much time on set because he's just shooting all in the same room all the time.
Yeah. He shoots on Mondays.
And then they're like, you're not going to have to be in here with these scrubs. Like, you're going to get to act with House of Cards guy. You're going to get to act with the Homeland person. You're going to get to act with Tony Almeida. And that's,
Smith Almeida next week. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Can you define a scrub?
I know I don't want him.
A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me.
There you go.
Usually hanging out the passenger side of their best friend's ride.
Trying to holler at me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Can we talk about we're talking about camera shots. There was one camera shot this time that they actually looked like they spent money on. Like, they did a nice dolly, sweet move, and I'm just like, whoa. That's something we don't usually see in this season 24.
They rented a dolly for an hour to shoot that shot.
Probably.
I like that in that shot, it was where Eric and Andy on one side, some of the chairs on the other side, and Chris is actually saying, I wonder if they're even on the same set right now. And then they did the dolly shot just to prove to Chris.
Yeah. It was like they're probably not even near each other, and then you see Eric behind the terrace.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. While we're talking about budget, Chris, what did you think of the explosion post-aftermath CGI this week?
Not as bad as the explosion.
Yeah, it looked better. It looked better in the fake news reports than it did when they showed the bridge. Yeah.
Okay, so did anybody actually see the Sunny episode from this past week?
No, nope. Sorry.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
So in this past week, they actually got an RPG and fired at the car. Like, to end the season. And so that CGI was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the CGI that was on 24 Legacy. So I was going to ask, what's worse?
Here's the thing.
It wasn't as bad.
I'm not surprised to see bad CGI on Sunny because it's not an action show.
Right, exactly.
It fits the tone of the show. Yeah.
24 Legacy needs to have a little bit more in that CGI budget.
Absolutely.
100%.
I'm so angry that they just don't put the money forth for this, because it could be a cash cow for Fox.
They don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
they just want to produce the cheapest shows possible.
Yep.
Why do you think you put on 5 hours of American Idol every week?
That's actually surprisingly a cash cow for them.
It's not anymore. Isn't it?
It's low investment. Yeah, they're killing it. High reward.
It's all about that's what they want. They want low investment, high reward.
But they're not. I don't think they got that high reward for Live Another Day or Live Another.
Yeah,
Live Another Day.
Yeah,
that's why they're not spending any money on this. You think
I guess.
They did? They
would
spend
money on it. I'm saying I don't think they got a high reward for that. So why are they spending?
I think that the president just really likes 24. So somebody high up in Fox cares about 24.
Who knows?
It's a brand that at some point had a big following, and they think if they do enough with it, they can bring people back.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, they actually have to make good TV, though.
It's hey, let's just try this thing out on the cheap and see if anybody still cares about this thing.
Which they did last season.
Are there any good scripted Fox shows?
Bob's Burgers.
Boom.
Boom. Okay. Moving on.
There we go.
Well done.
So,
I want to silence the room.
Did we ever understand why Eric didn't want to tell CTU? Since like, so last week on the podcast, I put Eric in Mole Watch because I was like, Eric's going to like go try to help the terrorists and all stuff. And his plan was not to help the terrorists at all. And I don't understand what not telling CTU got him in that situation.
It didn't matter. They're trying to make him Jack Bauer, and Jack Bauer never told CTU shit because he was the boss.
Jack Bauer would like, when it convenienced him, he would tell CTU, and when it didn't, he wouldn't. He would flip-flop like every episode.
Sure, but nothing this season has said like, oh, Eric needs to actually tell CTU about the situation. Like, yes, we as outsiders think that like he's going, if he told CTU, it'd be a better situation for him. However, they're trying to set up the new Jack Bauer, and it's just not working out.
Yeah. Well,
to be fair, he is not a CTU agent. So he has no real...
He's very inexperienced.
He has no real reason to tell CTU because he's not a CTU. There's no, like, mandate because he's not an agent.
I think he's just super inexperienced in this kind of stuff because he's not a CTU agent. Like,
I think he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good explanation to say.
I don't like
the show did not give a good explanation at all, so we have to come up with it in our minds, and he's an idiot. That's because, the only thing I can think of.
Like, because, like, the only possible thing that you could even think of is, like, okay, this terrorist guy said that if I brought any CTU people with me that they're going to kill my wife and brother. But their operation of, like, of figuring out whether or not the CTU people followed him was some dude got out of the truck, looked around for a second, and then called the big guy in. Like, that was the entire effort around
it.
It
would have been so easy to just have a drone strike on that.
They should have droned the shit out of that thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going on a suicide mission, why not just drone everyone? Like,
yeah.
They don't even need to be there. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, just, like, they... That's why, also, why the terrorist guy is the biggest idiot of all time, too. Like, this guy has no idea what he's doing. Like,
he's not a very scary bad guy.
No.
It's like amateur writers writing amateur terrorists and amateur CTU agents.
Pretty much.
But at the same time, like, okay, if he was actually, like, a smart terrorist, he would not be there at all. Like, so drone striking that area would not be useful. It would just, like, okay, the plot line of the terrorist organization would carry on.
Great. Why can't he just, you know, let his, what's it called? Let his minions do it. His peons.
Because he's an insane person.
Yeah,
I don't know.
His,
like,
minions definitely should have been the one to do this whole thing.
It's right. It's such an amateur operation. Like, this show should be called 24 Bush League instead of 24 Legacy. It's a horrible situation.
And this should be on at, like, you know, not prime time. It should be on at, like, 6 o'clock.
But you got to carry on the 24 name. You got to make sure that, like...
Well, then put money into it so that it can be called 24.
Fox puts money into dumb shit and doesn't put money into the smart stuff.
I like that there's sort of, you know, during the show ads, there's one ad for a show called APB and another ad for a show called Shots Fired. It's just like, you know...
How many horrible cop shows can we make?
Right.
Kind of fits with the Fox narrative. Like, okay, let's go military and, like, very aggressive nature of, like, their news/programming.
Maybe.
I mean,
I just don't know.
It's the demographic, I guess. I don't know. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, I just remember, like, Fox, like, always being, like, about, like, violent, like, shows and stuff. Like, I always watch Cops on them on the weekends.
So, like, the only time I've really watched Fox was, like, a couple years ago. They had a string of shows that were, like, sci-fi, fantasy, but they were just cop shows in disguise. Like, they had one where it was, like, set in Alcatraz, and they had, like, everyone disappeared from Alcatraz.
Oh, I remember that show.
That and show was terrible.
Oh, right. It was so bad,
it had,
but I watched it.
It had Hurley in it from Lost.
Yeah, Hurley.
Oh, and Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, man.
That show was also terrible.
It was bad. I get that. It was bad. It only lasted a season. And then the next season...
It was crazy. It was such a crazy show.
Yeah, it was Alcatraz.
I
know.
I watched the whole first season. It was like, this show is garbage, and they didn't bring it back. I'm like, thank gosh, I have to decide from watching this show again.
Oh, man.
And
Harrison,
then
you just reminded me that there's a Weezer album called Hurley with Hurley on the cover.
That's definitely true.
The next season, they had a show where there was, like, they went back in time to, like, the dinosaur time. And oh, like, yeah. I watched
like one episode of that.
And it was just like it's just like cop procedural. We're like, what? Really? Is this Fox? This is all you have is cop procedurals and set at different times.
They also had a cop procedural where like the new Dr. McCoy from Star Trek was like a cop with a robot partner or something.
Oh yeah, I remember that too. See,
that
like,
show was also terrible.
Why did I watch all these pilots?
They had this this nuts sort of cop procedural type thing where they try and get rid of the bad people in this nice place called Utopia. Really, really nuts show.
It really sucks that like Fox like denied Futurama like all those times. Like that was actually a really good show, and then
oh yeah,
it got picked up at Comedy Central like for so many more seasons.
Yep,
but
it just doesn't make them money.
Of course not. Of course, it got picked up by other networks that actually made the money. So why not?
I mean, it's not on the air, and Family Guy is on the air.
Yeah,
Simpsons is still on the air.
Also kind of surprising. But like, it's all switched networks. Like, it's not Fox's demographic. It's just they've moved on to another area that could actually make the money.
The animation stuff is like, I feel like it's so like in terms of Fox's portfolio is so separate from everything else. Like all that, like Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, but like all that stuff is super separate. It seems like, so there's like,
yeah,
there's like the animation stuff and there's like the shitty reality stuff. And then there's all these shitty dramas.
Well, Simpsons, the cop procedurals.
Yeah.
They have them. Isn't the Mick on Fox?
What the fuck is the Mick?
It's the one that Caitlin Olsen from Sunny's in. Yeah. It's some
sitcom.
Sitcom. Yeah.
I don't know if Fox has a sitcom night. I don't know.
They probably have the cartoon sitcom night. Oh, they have their whatever night New Girl's on is their like
sitcom. I unironically enjoy New Girl.
I've never actually seen it. I haven't seen that.
The first season sucks. The second season they realize, oh, actually the roommates are funnier than Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel is like the worst in that show.
She gets better in later seasons, but yeah, the roommates really, really make that show. Solid show.
The roommates are the same guys that were in Let's Be Cops, right?
Two of them are in Let's Be Cops, yes.
Were they the guys that were the cops?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
See, another cop procedural show.
All right.
Are they just going to turn New Girl into a Let's Be Cops spinoff?
Sure.
That was an all right movie.
All right, so Kill of the Week, guys. Let's bring it back a little bit. Was there any kills?
Did we have an actual kill?
I don't think there were any kills.
Our dreams and hopes for Tony Almeida.
There were probably some people that died in the bridge situation during the episode, but I don't know if it was really related to the show.
Last episode.
But well, it's all in real time.
Maybe it was like a slow, painful death.
Yeah.
All right. On that note.
They're not getting the kill of the week, though.
Do we have Mole Watch?
We definitely got Mole Watch.
Do we have any? Like, I really don't think there's any moles. Like, it's just like, it's so hard. There's nothing that seems.
You know? I'm just going to go Tony Almeida. He's always flip-flopping. I think that he's just
such a good call.
It's Aisha too. Aisha too.
Hold on, I gotta write this down. So Brian, you're gonna go with
and Tony. You also have notes from last week, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I've determined that the director of CTU is too much of a doofus to be the mole.
Absolutely,
that's like, what he wants you to think.
Oh
he
yeah,
he needs to get fired.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Rebecca again. I flip flop a lot.
I mean, she did kind of mole this time. She called up Tony. He's a known terrorist.
She's kind of going rogue. Like
she's been going rogue all season.
I mean, I wouldn't. As my reasoning was before, is that I think somebody else in the senator plotline set the father up, which the only person that we really know of would be Rebecca.
What about Tio?
Tio?
Jimmy, yeah. Uncle Organa.
Uncle Organa.
Could be.
Is that the guy back at the house?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that was so cool. I believe you.
After this entire season, I have no doubt that Papa Organa is a dumbass. And like he just got set up. Like there's no plot twist there.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely out of the loop with that situation. I mean, clearly.
Yeah, like, they're not going to, like, give him the details so that he can get interrogated. He's too close to everything.
Like, it's, like, the situation to me seems like he's this kind of more idealistic, well-intentioned, like, politician guy. And then his dad and his cronies kind of, like, handle the dirty work of politics for him. Is, like, kind of what it seems like.
Exactly.
Totally. So,
I mean, from that, he's just going to get tortured to maybe death. Tony might get a kill on his head from like next episode, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that dude, yeah, the dude who leaked that stuff to those terrorists, the father's probably going to get fucked in this situation.
Absolutely, but I mean, he's a dumbass for doing so.
100%.
So,
man.
Harrison, you got official mole?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like it'd be kind of great if there was like a reverse mole and it was the guy who's the scout for the terrorists is actually like an undercover CTU agent.
You mean like the guy that we've seen for like 5 seconds?
Yeah, that guy. Right. He seemed like really good at looking for stuff.
All right, all right.
Okay.
That's your official.
Very accomplished. Anybody right. else?
Robbie got one?
I'm going with Andy as my mole. I think when push comes to shove, he's actually going to fix the hard drive for the terrorists and not erase it.
Oh, you think he's going to bitch out on it?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, well, so to keep this season alive, next episode, Andy fixes the flash drive.
Yep.
Then CTU rescues Eric and Andy.
No, Andy does not make it out alive.
You know, you think Andy's dead? Andy's
I don't know about that one.
I don't know about that, actually.
So, Andy actually knows how to use a gun. So, what if he just turns it on everybody? Like, I mean...
Does Andy know how to use a gun?
We saw him being,
he tried quote, to unquote, use a gun.
Shaky.
We like, saw him point a gun, and it wasn't clear if he was pointing it at Eric or his boyfriend.
Right. Exactly. And then Eric had to duck underneath the gun to make sure he didn't accidentally get shot by it.
That's what makes me kind of think that, like, Rob could be onto something. All of a sudden, like... Andy just knows how to use a gun. Like, he can shoot it properly and, like, kill her.
I mean,
so did Chloe ever show knowing how to use a gun?
She was in a couple of field situations, which is why I kind of think that, like, Andy might stick around because it feels like they're setting Andy up to be, like, the next Chloe, basically. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I don't know if they kill Andy. They've done all those characters.
Because
setup.
The other CTU, like analyst person
Edgar
is
Styles' cousin.
Edgar Styles' cousin. If that piece of information does not come into play in the rest of the season, I'm going to lose my mind. But she is not interesting.
Definitely not.
But she is not interesting at all. So
that I'm not denying any of that. I'm
they have to
that.
Have an interesting analyst
but
to do the
dirty
work. They
also want to have a death that you care about. Although we did care about Insanity High School, R.I.P.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have a candidate for kill of the week. Andy's boyfriend's heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Max, you got an official mole this week?
Aisha, too.
It's a good call, I think.
Even though we know nothing about her. Sure.
I like that. Chris, Brian, Max, I like all your picks. They're all solid picks.
Thanks.
Just not.
Mine's not great.
Your pick sucks.
Honestly, if this season has any hope of succeeding, we need any of our picks to succeed.
They need to be a mole.
It doesn't matter. It should just be the craziest situation, but we need something to happen this season in order for it to continue.
What's up with Neela Mesrani?
Well, yeah, she was working on the statement that he was going to resign from being a candidate for president.
Yeah.
That takes a little while.
Whatever.
It takes over an hour.
That's kind of on the back burner now that he's at this black site.
Yeah, like
I still can't get over him going to this black site.
Is that actually like going to happen now? Like, I think that's just got to be abandoned.
I think that by the end of this thing, he will not be withdrawing from the race for president.
Absolutely probably. Not.
Because he's going to be the president next season, as we know.
So like the last episode, they dropped what, like 4 plot lines?
Yeah, they wiped off the board last episode.
Or so a lot of mergers.
They've been rebuilding a little bit here.
This is 2 plot lines now? Well...
It's basically 3 plot lines. There's still what's going on with the senator, I guess it's Drew. Like the CTU plot line and the senator plot line are basically the same plot line.
The only way I could see 3 at this point is that you've got
Eric Carter.
Eric, you've got Nicole, and then you next episode Nicole will be your own.
It's going to depend on how the situation goes down with the terrorists chasing them. Do you think that Isaac's gang is going to come and try to help him out?
He doesn't have any communication device.
I bet that car has a phone in it.
What is this, 1973?
It's a fucking CTU car. It's got to have a phone in it.
Is it a CTU car?
Or is it Andy's car?
As we learned today, microphones have cameras in them.
I thought it was Eric's car.
What car is that?
It seems like an SUV.
I think they stole it from CTU.
Because right. Eric already stole one car from
CTU. Which means that they should just be able to track that car right to where this thing is happening and save them.
It's bugged to hell. 100% CTU knows where they are. And then Isaac's gang, I don't think they're going to.
Is not coming back in the show.
Isaac come and save Eric?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a possibility.
I think Isaac puts a little call to his old pal Aisha.
I think that there's no way that Isaac doesn't die sacrificing himself for Eric in this show. Like, 100%. That's got to be what's going to happen.
So here's what I think is going to happen. Okay, next week, Andy gets murdered, and Eric escapes a terrorist, whether CTU comes or not. And it's going to be the Eric Tony Almeida show where they try to stop all the terrorists.
I really don't think that Andy's gonna get killed if Eric's gonna survive.
It's Tony and Eric, awesome show, great job.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
if there's anyone anything else to say about this episode,
I don't know.
Promising changes.
So I watched this week's episode or last week's episode of Designated Survivor.
Oh, how's that?
Much better.
It is
much better show than this. Yes.
Oh, is it better than the first half of the Designated Survivor season?
Is the question. It's probably on par with what it's been, but it's better than this.
Because I think that Designated Survivor is a very average show, which would put 24 Legacy.
Oh, no.
Right.
I think, you know, there's more. After watching this half season of 24,
yeah.
I'm much more appreciative of Designated Survivor.
The production quality is good on Designated Survivor.
Yeah, the acting, the writing is better. Everything about it.
Is the non-Kiefer acting on Designated Survivor good?
It's better than this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
24 set a very low bar for acting.
Like, there's Kiefer and there's Cal Penn.
Okay, here's the thing with Cal Penn. He's not acting. That was his real job.
Why? This is my big Disney Survivor thing, which I might have mentioned on the podcast already. Why isn't Cal Penn playing Cal Penn, White House aide?
Isn't that what he's playing?
No, he's playing some other. He's playing some fake guy who's a White House aide. He should actually be Cal Penn. His backstory was like, yeah, I used to be on House.
Because
and then I left House to come work in the White House. And then the Designated Survivor thing happened.
He left because House to work at the White House.
Thank you, Max.
God damn it.
It's crazy.
I don't know. Because they wanted to make it sure it's fictionalized. They don't want anyone thinking that the Capitol building blew up.
I guarantee that there's someone out there who thinks that this shit happened because they saw it on a commercial on TV.
Yeah. I mean, so the one thing about this last week's episode is they're actually moving forward with the whole, you know, spoilers, I guess, a little bit.
Are you dropping some Disney Survivor spoilers on us?
I haven't watched this episode yet. So don't go too crazy.
I think I might watch it at some point in the future once the season's all wrapped up.
I'll have obfuscate it. The mole, they're like coming close to actually.
There's a mole?
Yeah. Cool. The other people might actually find out.
What's our Disney Survivor mole watch?
We should do a Disney Survivor wrap up podcast at the end of the season or something like that.
I don't think I'll remember.
Then we all got to catch up.
At least me and Chris can do it if you're watching it too. Or you guys can decide to catch up.
I've only watched two episodes of it. Yeah. How many episodes in are they now?
Like 10?
Oh, that's way less than I expected.
They just took like a 4-month break.
Wow.
Or something.
Yeah, they
it's like ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah. That seems
they just started up again.
There's definitely some show recently that I watched like 10 episodes in a day. The Expanse, season one.
Oh, yeah.
So I can definitely...
How's that?
The Expanse.
The Expanse? Really, really solid science fiction show.
Well, Bryn brought up before on this podcast.
That's right.
But season two is very good.
Isn't or is?
Is. It's very good.
I didn't like the last episode, but yeah.
Oh, we got some dissenting opinions here.
Oh, man.
Maybe you guys should do an Expanse podcast.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe my entire life should be podcasts.
We should just sit in Max's apartment doing podcasts.
Then you're just the Twitch guy, I think.
Maybe.
Right?
But no video.
That's next level. Like, Twitch is just...
you mean the Justin TV guy?
Yeah, Justin Kahn that started Twitch, yeah.
You could be on Ed TV 2.
Ed TV 2.
Sure.
I mean... Anyone?
Do you think that TV deserves a sequel?
Only if you get Matthew McConaughey involved again.
Oh man,
not at all.
I feel like it was called The Truman Show, and it was better.
I feel like they could do an Ed TV / Mr. Ed crossover.
So it's just it's a movie about a reality show about a horse that talks.
Yes.
Isn't that just called
Alf? I'd unpack that one a little bit.
Isn't that just called Alf?
He's not a horse. What? He's a weird alien.
Alf is an alien.
Yeah, Mr. Ed was not an alien.
Well, he might have been. I don't know any other talking horses on Earth. Like, I mean,
you're a very sheltered individual then.
Sorry. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Watching anything else?
Wow, that was not cool.
Woo.
Man.
We don't want to get
Max
sued.
Max starting his job at TMZ next week.
I think the not Jack is having its effect on Max.
Oh my god.
I was racking my brain. okay.
All right. I think on that note, Harrison, you got any plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter. I don't tweet very much, but I'm Harrison Hoffman on there.
Rob?
I had nothing.
Max?
I do have some plugs. I actually have 5 microphones plugged into my laptop right now. A USB hub, a power plug.
Is that a plug?
The hub is not a plug, but the others are plugs.
I just want to make sure.
You plug stuff into it,
though. Know what a plug is, okay?
No.
Brian, you get any plugs?
Hit me up at who put this on.
Oh, man. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, if they record a podcast every now and then.
I want to do one.
Yeah.
I brought this
up the last time I was on. Like, I just want to bring that back. So.
No, it's fine. I mean, we should do it. I want to. Beastmaster, I've been watching that. That's like the only.
What is Beastmaster?
Okay. What do you think Beastmaster is?
It's called the Ultimate Beastmaster.
Okay. The Ultimate Beastmaster.
I'm going to tell you what I think it is.
Okay.
Have you ever watched Robot Wars?
I've watched Battle Bots?
BattleBots. That's the one. Okay.
Robot Wars.
You mean I was confusing it with Junkyard Wars.
Yeah.
Close enough. No.
Junkyard Wars is a pretty good show, too.
They should bring that back. Yeah. No, I think Ultimate Beastmaster is BattleBots, but with real animals.
Oh, man. Wow. But,
like, you can,
it's like an Island of Dr. Moreau situation.
Is it hosted by Michael Vick?
Oh.
That seems like that's what that would
soon.
Be.
Damn. Too soon.
You mean entirely accepted by the NFL now, Michael Vick?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he's in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, he was.
He's accepted.
No, it is. It's not what it is. Rob, you want to give a guess here?
Just tell us.
It is Ninja Warrior. But on Netflix.
Hosted by
Terry Crews and some other girl. I don't know her name.
And Sylvester Stallone. You cannot forget him.
He's not Stallone.
No. He's producing it. Terry Crews is the announcer for the America part of this.
Stallone did the intro of the first episode.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything else. So I can't remember.
Wait, that's exactly like that Kobe show.
Which one?
The Cleveland one?
No, LeBron James, LeBron, not Kobe. Yeah.
Oh, man. LeBron and Kobe are not the same.
I don't follow NFL.
Damn it, I hate you so much right now.
It is just like Cleveland Hustle, which had a 30-second intro by LeBron James, who then did not show up anymore after that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I should have known that because in the hastily made Cleveland tourism video, they say their economy runs on LeBron James.
It's very precarious situation for their economy.
Oh yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at the Chris Lorenz. You can follow us on Twitter at the DPPL. You can find us on facebook.com/the DPPL. Not sure we checked the email, but you can email.
No, we checked the
email. Okay. You can
email. We checked it last week.
You can email us.
If you send us an email, we're going to see it.
Please send us an email.
And you're going to get talked about.
And we will read it on air. If this you call this air, I don't think you can, but
on
microphones, the internet,
the podcast,
the DPPL@gmail.com. Adios.
Bye. Adios. Bye.